This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. The village of Nutok has been waiting over two decades to move to its new home in Muktukavik. As they've waited, their public health infrastructure has crumbled like the ground below. KYUK's Greg Kim asked Nutok residents how they've been adapting.
In Nutok, there's no running water. That means you need to walk to the water plant and haul it back, 1 5-gallon bucket at a time.
You gotta be strong for that stuff.
People end up reusing the water for a lot of things, to wash their hands, to wash their clothes. Carolyn George noticed her kids were getting sick often, and she had to do something about it.
Wait, raise, we throw the extra water in here.
Mm-hmm.
And then connect it to a water pump right there.
Carolyn has a barrel where she collects rainwater. A hose runs from the barrel through a water pump and crawls neatly along the ceiling to her kitchen sink. Homemade running water. Carolyn says it was a joint effort between her and her husband.
I thought it up and I told him to do it for me.
Carolyn says a few families in Nutok have already followed her blueprint. She beams proudly at her invention. But then she says quietly, it's not enough.
I wish we had like flushing toilets. Yeah. Huh?
Nutok's toilets also come in 5-gallon increments called honey buckets. Resident Ashley Tom says everyone has to empty their own when they're full. But where do they go?
One time I was next to the store and they were just dumping it over there. You could smell it because of the wind. I was like, man, I gotta get away from here.
But most of the time, residents dump them in the river, which is now less than 20 feet from someone's home. Tribal Administrator Andrew John explains the infrastructure doesn't exist because the money just isn't there.
The funding agencies did not want to invest into a dying infrastructure, which, unfortunately, Nutok.
About 15 years ago, the U.S. Government Accountability Office called out agencies for funding a $1 million health clinic in Nutok. They asked if a less expensive, more temporary solution would have been more appropriate. Since then, agencies are more reluctant to fund projects in any village that plans to relocate. But that doesn't explain the garbage. There's a pile of over 100 bags of trash sitting on the dock, and there's more piles strewn across town. It's because the landfill is across the river, and the tides make it difficult to cross. There is funding available. Nutok's relocation director, Romy Cadiente, says they used to have a trash man to help ferry the bags. But the last grant application fell through the cracks.
It's challenging to manage both sides, a lot of moving parts in this relocation.
Romy says they filled out the application this year. But people are more excited about what will happen once they move across the river.
We're heading into an area where this sort of problem won't happen to the residents.
In Muktuvik, there will be a landfill you can walk to, toilets that flush, a public washateria, and most importantly, running water. In Nutok, I'm Greg Kim.
On Tuesday, the EPA threw out proposed restrictions that could have put a stop to the Pebble Mine project. With a potential hurdle out of the way, shares in the company that owns Pebble saw a boost. KDLG's Alex Hager has more.
If you were watching the stock market on Tuesday, you would have noticed a big jump for the symbol NAK. That's Northern Dynasty Minerals, the company responsible for the Pebble Mine project. And the price of their shares grew more than 60% in one day. The surge came on the heels of news that the Environmental Protection Agency withdrew proposed restrictions on the mining project. As the Pebble project has been caught up in controversy for years, the value of the company's shares has stayed low and hasn't seen a boost of this magnitude in over 2 years. Northern Dynasty CEO Ron Thiessen says the stock movement reflects investor optimism that the project is on the right course.
You saw it in the market. Our shareholders felt this was a major impediment and clearing it was a major milestone.
Not everyone shares that positive outlook. Norm Van Vactor, president of the Bristol Bay Economic Development Corporation, thinks Tuesday's movement on the markets was just a knee-jerk reaction to the day's headlines, and he still sees plenty of significant obstacles to the mine's development.
At the end of the day, again, I have a high degree of confidence that science and reason will prevail. Certainly not where I would be putting my retirement funds, or even my play money if I had any.
KDLG reached out to a number of different stock analysts for this story, but they all declined to comment. Northern Dynasty shares haven't seen much action amid fears that the project would get halted by environmental regulations, but Thiessen says certain worries about the mine's impact on Bristol Bay are unfounded.
People shouldn't have been scared away, and our share price shouldn't have been depressed because people don't tell the truth about the impact of the potential impact of this project on the fishery.
Again, Van Vactor disagrees. He's holding out hope that the permitting process will take scientific findings into account and keep the project from getting too far.
This is another bump in the road. We've seen a lot of them before, and we'll see more in the future. But at the end of the day, I'm again, very optimistic that science and truth will prevail.
Northern Dynasty stock was hovering around 80 cents a share as of Wednesday afternoon. The next major step in the permitting process comes in early 2020 when the Army Corps of Engineers expects to release its final environmental review. In Dillingham, I'm Alex Hager.
Released last month, the short film Who We Are reflects on the coastal erosion affecting Alaska Native villages, and it shows how art and culture connects these communities to the land. The director of the piece says her reliance on Alaska Native actors and symbols is unique for the world of cinema. Anchorage-based cinematographer Alexis Shully wrote and directed the project with the idea of honoring her own Alaska Native family and culture. She decided to reach out to Tristan Morgan, a contemporary artist who shares Shully's Inupiaq heritage.
I had been familiar with Tristan's work and was really inspired by a lot of what she draws. And I thought, man, it'd be really cool to collaborate with another artist and someone that is within the same indigenous nation as I am and has a lot of similar perspectives.
Morgan is the protagonist of the film Who We Are. The two-minute story opens with her reflecting on the past as she stares out into the Bering Sea.
I can stand on this shoreline and think of a time when our villages weren't disappearing, when the land wasn't being taken by the sea.
Every element of the film, from the actors to the musical score, was sourced from indigenous talent. This was a conscious decision by Shully, and one that included behind-the-scenes work as well.
And that was really important to have all indigenous crew, because that never happens. And it's something I'm working more towards and wanting to embrace more indigenous stories with indigenous crew.
The cast and crew traveled to Nome and Shishmaref to shoot the majority of the film. Both locations were chosen because of their personal connection to Shelley's past. This is KYUK News. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Thanks for listening. Please send your news tips to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for the news in Yuktun coming up.